So I wanna share a little bit on what I believe is a tough topic, and that's obedience. You know, God called us to a life of obedience, and in many things it's not easy. I just experienced it in my own home this morning. Although in my little 3-year old, his mom gave him certain porridge and he wanted some other porridge, and there was a bit of conflict, and I was still working, just going through everything for this morning, and then Dad had to step in and resolve the conflict by having some conflict. But you know, there's a principle. There's a principle where you need to learn to obey. It's not always easy. It's not always something we like, because especially when you're a young boy and your dad tells you, you can't play in the water right now, or you can't do this, you can't jump on your bed. Many things in life is nice. We like to do it, but there's reasons why either God, our parents, our teachers, we do have a few teachers in the house, and I've visited once or twice a school after I left school way back, and I know it's really, really tough. People aren't born to obey. All the parents in the house can tell you that. You know, they will stand with the finger close to something and you say, don't touch, and they check it out, you know. You will know what I'm talking about, all the parents specifically. And you know, it's the same with God. And I don't want to stand here this morning saying, if you don't obey, you know, the pastor say you should obey, otherwise you're a sinner and God is going to punish you. That's not the heart that I want to talk about, because there's a blessing. You know, it's amazing. One of the most beautiful things I learned about parenting is that after you've, you know, corrected your child in whatever way, you know, how they just respond to it. If you do it in the right way with love, how do they just respond to it? I love my boys for after they had been corrected, you know, how they just bloom, you know, how they're just beautiful. And I love it in my heart many times when the temptation is there to do something wrong, but then actually doing the right thing. It feels like a victory. Have you experienced that? I've experienced that. Okay? So, for a seasoned believer, the devil will never come full out and ask you, kill someone. You know, he knows, the devil knows that won't work. But he always comes with something like a white lie or something small, just to sneak in, you know. He won't just tell you, do murder, kill, whatever, steal, because he probably knows you will not do that, okay? But he will come with those small, sly things. And we can read through Scripture. There's so many examples of people had to obey and to be obedient to God. And you can look at Abraham when he had to offer literally Isaac. That must have been seriously tough. It must have been very hard to him. But up to when God said stop, he obeyed, okay? Moses had to go to Pharaoh. Moses didn't like talking. I think I like Moses for that. It's a good thing in this long story. But anyway, you know, to walk up to Pharaoh the king, you know, if I had to walk up to our president and tell him, you know, you need to do this or that, I'm going to have a bit of jitters, you know. He's the president. I'm just a normal guy, you know. But there's many examples like that. And the blessing is if we are obedient. You know, I remember in 2005, that's this example that came to my mind this morning. It was so clear. I was praying. I just finished studying. I started working. I went to an interview to a place where I could get double the salary I had been getting up till then. It was in Cape Town. And some part of me thought like, yo, I must go. You know, that was the year I met Maritza. I had great plans. You know, you need a bit of money for that. You know, any young man needs money, of course, you know. Agree with me? It's okay. It's not just me that is that like that. But there was a few things that it really bothered me. It really, I think I did tell this story in church before, but I'm going to tell it again. I really, in some part of me, thought like it's the right thing to do, and another because I could further my career and this and that. By the way, I wasn't the pastor always. I also worked. I'm just preaching, it's nice. But the moral of the story is, something bugged me, and I remember I was still living with two of my friends, Scholz and Johan, and that morning I went on my knees and I really prayed and I asked God, please show me. I want to be obedient, I want to do what you want me to do. And I so clearly, the words that the Lord told me is, look after your sheep. Okay, at that stage I was what we call a zone coach in church in Stellenbosch. I had two small groups that I say supervised. And the Lord told me, because the thing was, I had to move to Cape Town. I wasn't prepared to drive 1 hour and 45 minutes at least every day in the morning to Cape Town in the traffic, and then 1 hour and 45 minutes back, I would have had to make a shift and stuff. Another thing that just bothered me, just opposite the building I was kind of working in, the heart of Cape Town, you know, there was teasers and all those things. It just, I didn't like it, you know, it was just bad in my heart. And I was so relieved when God told me, stay where you are, stay at the job that you are, don't move, look after your sheep. I knew what God was saying to me that morning. And you know what was the amazing thing? I obeyed and I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to walk away from, say, a bigger salary and promotion or whatever. And you know what was the amazing thing? Within a week or two, I can't remember, but it was very close, I actually got a raise in the work that I was doing at that stage, and later on again. Okay? So, and it was just because God knew better. And that's just one example. It's not God standing here, this guy with a stick, and if you step wrong or you make a mistake, then God's going to punish you. That's not what it's about. That's not what obeying is about. It's a relational thing between us and God. You know, if you drive in your car today and you drive too fast, and you, or say you want to obey, but you drive too fast and you get a speed fine, that's bad. No one. But that's not the same thing. That's not, there's a law and God is going to punish us. That mustn't be our heart's attitude when we talk this morning a little bit about obeying God. Okay, obeying His, you know, the commandments that God has given us. We all have got a pretty good idea in our hearts through the Holy Spirit what is right and what is wrong. So I've got so much that I want to tell you, but we will see how far we will get this morning. If you ask the question, how important is obedience to God? Then John 14 verse 15 tells us, if you love me, you will, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Okay, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Okay, so that's like a platform for me. That's something from where we can work. And yeah, so I'm going to read now quite a long part of scripture to us. I think many of you will know it, relating to this topic, but I believe it's a wonderful example to all of us. We can learn from this. And it's from 1 Samuel 15, verse 7, and that's about King Saul and where he made a mistake, where he made a fatal mistake, up to the point where God said, I will reject you because you made this mistake. Okay? Some things in life has big consequences when we sin, and some consequences is smaller. Okay? Sometimes you get caught, sometimes you don't. But that's not what it's about. It's between you and God. Okay, so I want to read to you, those of you who want to follow in scripture, you can. It's in 1 Samuel 15 verse 7. I've got one or two key verses at the back here on the slides, it will be. But otherwise, you can just sit back and listen to the story. And God has given this to us because He said all scripture is good for doctrine and for reproof and for rebuking. Okay, so we can learn from this example this morning. Okay, 1 Samuel 15 verse 7. And Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless, that they utterly destroyed. Now the word of the Lord came to Saul, saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from me, from following me, and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told to Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed has set up a monument for himself. And he has gone around, passed by, and gone down and gone down to Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed are you of the Lord, have performed all the commandments of the Lord. But Samuel said, What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears, and the lowing of the oxen, which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spare the best of the sheep and the oxen, to sacrifice to the Lord, your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, Be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said to him, Speak on. So Samuel said, "When you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, 'Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed.' Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord?" And Saul said to Samuel, "But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord has sent me, and brought back Agag, king of the Amalek, and I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal." So Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king." Then Samuel said to Saul, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I fear the people and obey their voice." Okay, now almost we can say full stop, there's the sermon, guys. You've got it. This is so, I almost want to say scary, but it's also such a good example to us that we can learn from. Remember, who chose Saul as king? God chose him. God chose him. He was like a, let's say, a son to God. Okay? And now because he has made that mistake, okay, God says, "I'm going to reject you. I'm going to reject you as king." Okay? And that's kind of harsh. Do you agree with me? That's tough, you know? I mean, he's the king. He's the guy in control. He led the army. He had the victory. And now God said through the prophet Samuel, "I'm going to reject you." Now, I believe it's the key verse, of course, is 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. "As the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord." So I think the most important thing that we should take home today is that you can do many things. We can give, we can do many things right. But the most important thing is to obey the voice of the Lord. Okay? When my little boy is doing something and I tell him, "Don't do that," then he can tell me, "Yesterday I did this, yesterday I did that right, I washed your car, I was a nice boy, I cleaned my room." But none of that is going to be enough instead of obeying my voice at that moment, what I tell him. Okay? And it's the same with God. When you get in this situation, it's not going to help if you tell God, "Yes, but God, I was at small group last night. Lord, I prayed for something, someone. I even healed someone, or you healed someone through me. Lord, I've done this. I've tithed. I've given my offerings. Lord, I'm a friendly person." But it's about obeying God's voice. Okay? And it's something important that I learned a lot of years ago when someone talked to me about obedience and boundaries and things like that. I'm going to use a good example. If you are a young person and you're in a relationship and you're not married, then it's wrong to have sex. We should know all that. Okay? Amen. Now, if your boundary is not sleeping together, okay, that is something that God has given us to protect us. If you see it as something that's going to spoil my fun, then you must ask for renewal this morning, because that's not what it's about. God doesn't say things to spoil our fun. I don't tell my boys, "Don't touch the hot stove plate," because I want to spoil their fun. I'm protecting them. Okay? So we must make that mind shift this morning, if you haven't already, that if you want to be protected, God wants to protect it, and our obedience is the key to that. Amen. So let's just look a little bit. I just want to use a little bit of the background to give this illustration even more power, if I can say that. I think let's just look together about the background, why God was so, let's say, hard in this situation. Okay? When Israel came out of Egypt, the Amalekites attacked them. Okay, that was the place where Joshua and who was the other one had to hold up Moses' hands. So we read about that in Exodus 17, from verse 8 to 16. God gave the Israelites the victory, but the important thing is that in Deuteronomy 25, verse 17, God said the following: "Remember what Amalek did to you on your way as you came out of Egypt, how he attacked you on the way when you were faint and weary, and cut off your rear all who lagged behind you. And he did not fear God. Therefore, when the Lord your God has given you rest from all your enemies round about, in the land which the Lord your God gives you for inheritance to possess, you shall blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. You shall not forget." Now this is something, Sias, when he was here, he used that example. He said, if I'm wearing brown shoes this morning, you all know it's brown shoes, okay? But when Jesus walks in and he says, those shoes are blue, then it's blue, okay? So if God says, we're going to blot out Amalek's name, then that's going to happen. There's no famine, no wind, no circumstances will make this not come true. It's something that definitely will happen. And Saul had a big role to play. Saul, God gave this opdrag, he gave this commandment to Saul in 1 Samuel 15. And he said, in 1 Samuel 15 verse 2 and 3, he said, "I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel in opposing them on the way when they came out of Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that I have done. Do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep and camel." Okay, that's hard. I'm not going to go into why you may think this morning, God is a hard person. Why can you kill the woman and why can you kill this? But God had his reasons, you know. God is God. We have to take that home. We have to know that. So God was very clear on taking no spoil back. Not the best of the people, the king, the sheep or anything. And then Saul, obviously they did. God, I believe, supernaturally gave them the victory. That's why all of the Amalekites could fall to the edge of the sword, as scripture said. But here in verse 9, Saul made the mistake. "But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings of the lamb." You know, they spared some of it. Now, you know, if I tell my boy, don't go run into the road, if he only run into half of the road, was he obedient or not? You know, it's a 100% thing. It's a yes or no. And I trust the Holy Spirit, because I want to ask you today, what is God calling? Except we all have scripture. We know scripture. We talk a lot. We teach from it. That's why we talked about finances and things like that last week. But this morning, you will all know what God is calling you. I've got one of my friends currently, he's doing a fast. He's fasting, I think it's day 6 today, and he knows, and the daughters know who that is, but you know, he's listening, he's obeying God. It's tough to fast, okay? It's not easy, because you deny yourself in many ways, but he had it in his heart, and God gave him confirmation for that, and I believe the testimonies will come. But it's something, I want to ask you, the Holy Spirit will lay on your heart, what do you need to obey on? Today, or maybe in this season of your life, where is God calling you to obedience? And I'm not talking about not driving too fast, killing, stealing, murdering, things like that. Maybe you were like me at that stage, and God was telling you, telling me, stay where you are. God would have not, he wouldn't have written me off or rejected me if I made a mistake. We do have grace for that. Praise God for that. Okay? But I want to hold it before you. What is God calling? What area in your life is God calling you to obedience this morning? I believe the Holy Spirit will show you and reveal it to you. Now, you know what, guys? It's tough. It's not easy. As I said with my kids, as a parent, I learn so much. I can see it's not always easy for them to obey, and neither is it for us. It's a war. And you know, the younger Christian you are, the more... if you haven't been growing a lot in the Lord, then it will be just more tough. And the world we're living in doesn't make it easier. It really makes it harder to not do certain things. You agree with me? Now, I don't want to go into the doctrine of that, but I want to read you a certain quote that I got about just the faith or the religion of something like New Age. Okay? I don't want to really preach about it, but I want you to grasp something. And that is how good it sounds and how close it almost sounds to being right, but it's not. Listen to it. It's a quote. I actually, when I looked, I couldn't get the name of the person. I researched it in the week, but now I forgot who it is, but I will get it if you want to know. So what is New Age? I just wanted to interrupt myself currently in this. New Age may have a different meaning for each person you ask. A person with New Age beliefs is one that sees beyond the five senses to the supernatural world, believes in a metaphysical cause and effect, and has a direct connection with the God force energies. For me, that was the lady now speaking here. For me, the New Age path has been about embracing the truth in other paths and breaking down the religious boundaries and intolerance that have kept me away from other people's truth because of the fundamental teaching of my own religious upbringing. It's literally about a new age of spirituality. When I read something pertaining to spiritual belief or meet with someone and hear their spiritual truth, I take what resonates with me and let the rest go. If someone seeks guidance, I share what is true for me. If it helps, great. If it doesn't, that's okay too. I believe when Jesus said that the kingdom was within, he meant it. We are all divine sparks of the one God. So in that sense, yes, we are all God energy. How well are we living in that energy varies according to our human experience at any point in time. I believe every living thing has the spark of divinity, I don't know how you pronounce it, in it. And the more we call forth that light within, the more we honor the God within. Okay? Now I know David and Arendt and the theologians in the house, we can make a whole study of this and what is not true and what is almost true and this and this and that. Okay? But if you have a good discerning heart, do you agree with me this is not true? Can I see? You agree with me? Definitely yes. Wari is also one of those upcoming theologians I know. But, you know, if you read something like this, and say for instance, you don't really know scripture, then it sounds really nice. If you go and research it, it's peaceful people, they don't want to make war, they believe in good principles. A lot of the things sound quite sound. But you know, it's totally not biblical. And this is just one of the things so many people, as I use the example, are lured away with things that's close to the truth. I mean, the name of Jesus was mentioned. They talk about a God and the God within you, a little bit about energy and metaphysics that maybe doesn't make sense to all of us. But you know, this is the type of things that will always try and I'm just using one example. You will know in your own life what stands between you and God and obedience. What makes things tough to obey God's voice all the way. And it's not easy. That's why we need help. We need God to help us, and praise God for the Holy Spirit that we are not on our own trying to fight a fight like this. Okay. So, unfortunately, you know, Saul has made this... I just want to read you just the last part of this again. Paul did a lot of what some of us also like to do, is blame shifting. He said, but they did it. They brought it. Okay, but who was in charge? Saul. He was in charge of his troops. He must have told him, you will not do this, you will not do that. Okay, and he missed it there. And then at the end in verse 24, after Samuel has almost walked him to that place, Saul said, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words. It's almost like sad. I wish I could see his face. It must have been bad. Okay, first he said, but they did it, blah, blah, blah. And then at the end, okay, Samuel, I'm wrong. I missed the mark. I sinned. Okay? But I want us to look at five things this morning. And it's things for us to help understand God. You know, we should know who God is to understand why if you does not obey God, what is wrong with it? What is the dangers in this? And I want to use this example of Saul. And the first one is disobedience show a misplacement of fear. And we will see that in verse 24. Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Okay? They were fighting, they're having this thing, and they slain the Amalekites, and now there's the king standing, there's a few nice oxen, a few nice sheep, and they think like, well, let's take it down, we'll sacrifice it to God. But that's totally, it's once again, it's almost like New Age. It sounds good, but that's not what God called them to do. And that's where they make the mistake. Saul was fearing the people more than God. He should have, at all costs, he should have said something like, the man that brings something home, I will kill him. And it sounds very harsh, but now he's in trouble because he feared the people more than God. And that's the tough thing. For me as a pastor, maybe for you as a small group facilitator, maybe as a husband, maybe as a father of a household. Sometimes I see it, you know, the golden key in parenting is consistency. Okay? You can't just give your kids a hiding when they make a mistake and you say you had enough. We should be consistent. We should learn to be consistent. And the thing is here, many times it's easier to just kind of look the other way when the kids have a fight again or they do something wrong because you are tired and you had a long day and you just like don't feel like conflict right now. But that's wrong. You should sort it out right now that they learn what is the right thing to do. Okay? They need to learn to obey, and so should we. He feared the displeasure of the people more than the displeasure of God, and it dearly costed him. It costed him so much. And Saul actually ended up a sad figure in Scripture. He ended up a sad figure in Scripture. The second one, disobedience show a misplacement of pleasure. Okay, so I want all of us to see if you can maybe see it in your own life. We read in verse 19. Why then did they not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop on the spoil and do what was evil in the sight of the Lord? You know, they were probably looking there. That swoop, if you go and read a little bit about it, they probably ate the animals with the blood in right there because they were fighting, they were hungry, they were men, and it was something terribly wrong. Because remember, if you made war in those days and you brought back the other nation's king and you brought back a spoil, it really looks good in the eyes of the people that stayed home. And I mean, that's almost like saying to yourself, well done, we defeated them, look here, there's the king, there's the spoil, we are the men, you know, that type of a thing. Not like the Springboks yesterday, but okay. No, I'm not going to distract myself and talk about that. There's some people here. Yes, so that's important, that we should just have that thing in our hearts. Do you want to give glory to God? Pleasure, is it more important that what you do in your life to give pleasure to Him than to the people around you? Maybe, you know, I read about it and I see it sometimes, you know. It's easier. Let me tell you this story because it's actually quite sad. But it's very true. When I did my research and I read a few articles and stuff, the one pastor said when he was a very young pastor in his church, there was a situation, a couple tried for a long time to fall pregnant and didn't happen, and eventually like God blessed them with a little girl. But they just raised this little girl in love and not in discipline. And when they told her, go left, she went right, and it was very funny. When they told her to sit down, she stood up, and they thought it's very older, special, because, you know, 2 to 3 year old kids, they can be very funny in a sense, and they know how to draw a lot of attention. And unfortunately, the parents fall into this trap, okay? And then one day, a very sad thing happened. The gate was open in front of the house, and the girl walked out. Parents heard the car coming, and they screamed at her, come back, come back. And she ran, car hit her, and she died, 3 years old. And it broke my heart because I've got a small girl as well, okay? But that can cost you your life. I always tell my wife, please submit, please obey, because when I tell you, fall down, rather fall down and look stupid and miss the bullet when someone shoots you. And listen, okay, it's in a certain context, of course. Okay, but I believe God is the same with us. He wants to protect us. Obedience isn't there to spoil our fun, to make life miserable and sad. But if that little girl, if their parents stood up and gave her a punishment when she didn't obey, it could have saved her life. It could have saved her life. Point 3, disobedience show a misplacement of praise. In verse 12 we read, it was told to Samuel, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a monument for himself. Now that's almost the worst of all. He didn't obey, and if he knew what were to happen, he probably would go dig a hole and put himself in the hole, rather than trying to build a monument for himself and giving him the glory for what he thought he did right. Okay, and Samuel came with the truth, and unfortunately, that misplaced praise that he thought he was the man, it was totally the opposite. It was totally the opposite. As I say, God rejected him as a king for that things that he did wrong. Okay, and we should be careful of this. If you pray for someone and that person get healed, please don't think you have done something right. When we do evangelism and someone get healed, or this or that happened, or maybe even if someone just come back to your small group, don't think you can build a little monument for yourself. We should be very careful and always give all the glory to God. Then the fourth one, and this is also, yet it actually becomes very obvious and quite harsh in the eyes of God, and something that we can understand. Disobedience is as the sin of divination. Some translations use the word witchcraft. In verse 22, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination. Now that's not a word that we use very often anymore, but it means of prophecy, of prediction, fortune telling, crystal gazing, soothsaying, and that stuff. That's why some translations just calls it witchcraft. Okay, and I want to read to you in Deuteronomy 18 verse 10. God said the following: there shall not be found among you any of whom burns his son or daughter as an offering, any one who practices divination as a soothsayer, or as an augur, or a sorcerer, or a charmer, or a medium, or a wizard. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord. Okay, so scripture is quite clear. God is very harsh on this thing. We can almost stop here this morning, and God says, obey me, otherwise it's almost like witchcraft. Because you know what? You are consulting, that's why that word is there. You are consulting another medium. It can be anything else, or it can be the wizard that's standing here in front of you. Okay? I'm not a wizard, but that's what I mean. Okay? You say, God, maybe you know good. Maybe, God, you've got a point there, but moving to Otjiwarongo, Lord, it doesn't make sense, Lord. I will rather move to Gubabis because I think it's better. Okay? You're consulting yourself. You're doing almost a bit of looking in the mirror and thinking, I know better than God. Okay? And that will cost you. So remember, I'm not talking about this morning trying to condemn anyone. I'm just trying to give us a biblical perspective of why it's so important. Why God so truly want us to obey Him. And after I read that article about the little girl that lost her life there, you know, it's better to punish your kids. Punish is maybe not the right word. Discipline, thank you. Discipline your kids when they are young. And then when they're 16 or 17 or older, you know, life is easier for themselves because they have learned to obey. They have learned to obey the headmaster, the teacher, maybe the CEO of the company or whoever. It's going to make life easier for them, and it's in our hands to teach it to them. And then lastly, disobedience is as idolatry, and that is just basically, for rebellion is a sin of divination, and stubbornness is as iniquity of idolatry. Now you will know that in the New Testament, Old Testament, God is very clear on this: no idols. I'm first, full stop, nothing else. Okay, there's no place for anything higher in your life that exalts it before God. And you know, sometimes I have to watch myself. It happens. So there's not a wooden image at the back of my property or anything like that. Many times we think in terms of idols, things like that. But if anything, if you feel it becomes, I remember my second small group facilitator when I was young. You know, I was just born again. He once said, but the Lord has laid it on his heart, he must stop surfing for a season. And I thought, like, you're spooky, man. That's weird. God doesn't say stuff like that. But you know, I didn't understand it at that stage. But what he knew in his heart, it was something that was big to him. It was something, surfing was maybe his life. And it almost became like an idol in his life. Okay? And he stopped that for a while just to break that thing of he has to surf every second day. That's why we still live close to the coast or the sea. Okay? So that's the type of things that we talk about. If you're whatever you do in your life, what your hobby is or anything, your work maybe, if you feel it's becoming something that's bigger than God, then it goes to the way of idolatry and we should just see the red lights flashing. Amen. Okay. So I want we're gonna worship afterwards again and there will be opportunity for ministry, and I just want you to just listen inside now to that still small voice. And God will be calling you. Maybe you just need to do your homework more often. God will show you what in your life He wants you to be obedient more. Okay? Now, I believe when we talk about obeying, I believe my kids obey me because they see me as a father in the house and I'm big and I'm strong and I have a beard recently. Okay? That's maybe one of the reasons why they obey me. But they also love me and they respect me. You know? But if we obey God, then it means we have faith in God. None of us will obey something you don't believe in. If you are very sick or something is wrong, and you do go to a medical doctor, and he tells you this and that is wrong, and you take a certain type of medication, I never go back and say, doctor, I hope it's 20 grams of this and the two pills of that. That's the right thing, okay? Do you do it? I don't. I trust the doctor that he knows best, and if he prescribes maybe this or that, then it's the right thing, okay? So that should be our heart to God as well. If the Lord says, don't move now to that place, or maybe move, or start doing this, stop doing that, it's because God loves us. He knows what is best. It's to protect us. In His will, there's provision. There's blessing, there's protection. Okay? So that is really something important. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, we read, "And if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord, your God, being careful to do all His commandments that I commanded you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field." Okay? And the thing is, guys, and I'm ending off with that this morning, obedience is a choice that we have to make. It's a choice that we have to make. And I've just understood a few things the past while when I told it to some of you guys. You know, in terms of our relationship with God or Jesus Christ, I said God leaves the front door, the back door, every door open. We can run away at any moment. He will let us run. Okay? And the thing is, with obedience, God doesn't chain us in a way and that we should obey. It's something that we should choose. That is, as we are choosing Jesus Christ every day, okay, we should choose to obey. It must be something in our hearts. And I can see, especially my one boy, Alvin, I'm sharing a lot from my family, I hope it's okay with you. But he's got this, when he does something right, he says, but in Afrikaans, ek is 'n groot seun. Okay? In English he says, I'm a big boy. And he does that, he's wired like that. I didn't taught him that. But he does it because he's doing the right thing and it's pleasing his dad. And something in his heart is just, he loves that. Okay? And I know when this thing is sin, and I can say, I'm going to walk away from that. I'm going to obey. I'm going to flee. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Okay? Then there's something in your heart that is like victorious, something that's nice. Can I have an amen? Okay? So I want to encourage you, as we are going to praise and worship now, you know, many times we think the interest rate is low right now. So it must be the right thing to buy a property. Or maybe you think, but the boss is really unsaved, he's really a dragon, it must be the right thing to move to the another job. Or maybe you just had your second or third child and then you think, but it must be the right thing to build another room for your house. Okay? Yes, it can make sense. It's not necessarily a right or wrong thing. But I want to hold it before us this morning that we shouldn't think that way. Don't obey the speed limit just because the board says so and you are scared to get caught. Obey because you want to please God. And because we can't just do it in our own strength, we can once again walk away and say, we give you the glory, God, for obeying, for listening. Okay? God wanna, and I want to specifically say to you young guys, God want to speak a lot more to you than you can imagine. He want to speak to you. If we don't hear God's voice, it's not God's fault. It's our fault. I've learned it in my own life. We should. So I want to encourage you. If there's decisions you need to make, maybe about the subject, maybe about a career, you know, pray about it. Ask God. I believe He will help you with that. Hannes, can you and the team just come up? So I wanna. While they are coming up, I want you guys, all of us. I'm preaching to myself this morning. Okay? I want us to close our eyes and just to look inward now. I believe that God or the Holy Spirit would have already spoken to our hearts. Okay? I'm going to make a call this morning. And the first thing is, if you really battle to hear God's voice, you can't get it right, you're not sure how it works. Okay? Then I want to call you. Okay? But there's more to it. We're going to, at the youth specifically, we will spend time with you talking about that. If there's older people and you don't feel shy or don't feel wrong or something, but I believe there's one or two principles that we just need to share with you this morning that we can hear what and where and how God wants us to obey. And then the second group of people, I just, from my side, I felt I should make a call to. If you just feel like, I can't obey, it's just too tough, I can never get it right, I don't want to obey, maybe I feel a bit like, why should I honor my parents, why should I listen to the teacher, why should I listen to the pastor, or maybe, why should I listen to God? If you feel like that this morning, and you just like feel like this obeying thing, yeah, it makes sense, but I just can't get it right, okay? If there's anyone here this morning, and don't feel bad or convicted, but I believe the Holy Spirit has want to minister to your heart. So, and there's going to be an opportunity for that. So, while all eyes are closed, just that we can look at our insides this morning. If you feel the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you, if you feel a little bit uneasy, maybe you feel like you just can't get this obeying right, or if you feel like, Pastor, how do you mean God's voice? I want to lay hands on you. I want to pray with you this morning. Is there anyone here, while all eyes are closed, just between you and God, if you feel the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you this morning, just raise your left hand. Just raise your hand this morning as something between you and God. Thank you. I'm going to ask you something very bold. If you have raised your hand this morning, the Pastor Carl can do nothing for you. But I want to call you to just come and stand here at the front. Okay? We are slowly going to start in praise and worship. I want to minister. I want to pray with you this morning. But I also want you to bring your heart before God. That you can do business. That you ask God, Lord, help me with this. Cry out to God. Okay? So those of you, if you have raised your hand and you feel the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you, can you please come to the front this morning? I know it's going to take a bit of effort. I know it's going to take a bit of courage. But I believe God will minister to us this morning. I really, really do believe that. Okay? So Hannes and the team, they're just going to play on for a small while. And then we're going to start in worship. Okay? But David, Paul, you guys, if I want to call you to the front, we're going to minister now. We're going to pray for these guys. Okay? And anyone else, if you feel you need some sort of prayer, maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ yet, maybe you don't know what that means, I want to call you to the front as well. Amen.